Hey everyone, Pastor Amanda here. I just wanted to thank you for joining us today. I pray the Word of God comes alive in your heart like never before as you listen. And then if you'd like to support the ministry of the Branch Church so that we can continue to connect those far from God to the life-giving vine of Jesus Christ, you can do so at branch.church/give. Now, let's get to the message.
I just want to give glory to the Lord. It was really cool because when Shay started speaking, that was exactly the word that I was feeling in my spirit. Last night, I began to see a vision in my mind because I had already been here to help set up earlier, and I saw a woman standing over here, and the Lord began to speak to me last night, and then Shay began to speak, and it began to become more clear, the word, and I went over here to my sister who was standing over here, and I felt like the Lord had a word for her, and I shared it to her, and I said, "Is that the word?" And she confirmed, said, "Yeah, that's the word of the Lord for me, like right where I'm at right now." You see how God works? That's normal, y'all. That's how the Holy Spirit works. That's called a word of knowledge. When the Lord speaks something to you that you couldn't know on your own about somebody's life. That, you can go and read all about it in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 12 through 14, really, about the gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has given us gifts to edify the church, to build the church up. That's why we've come here today, to lift him up and then be built up by the Spirit of God so that we become more like Jesus, we become more unified, we love one another more, and we walk out of here more like Jesus than when we came in, charged up and on his mission. Amen, because this is his church. This is Jesus' church. Amen. So I've come with a word for you today. You know, I really wrestled with this. It took me a while. I spent a lot of time in prayer. And the only thing that came to my mind was something that the Lord had been doing in my life lately. He's been speaking to me. And it concerns motivation. Like, why do we do what we do? And so I want to speak to you today. The title of my message is Wired for Reward, What Motivates Our Ministry. What motivates our ministry? And if you would go with me to Matthew chapter 6, we're going to park there and we're going to look at several verses of scripture there. Matthew chapter 6, I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. And I just want to read one verse and then we will come back and look at some more later. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 1, Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." Amen. By show of hands in here today, how many of you are on some type of reward system? Just if you're on some kind of reward system, just lift your hand up and leave it up. Just leave it up. This could be anything. It could be your credit. You get rewards from your credit card. You get rewards from your oil changes. I made my wife drive our vehicle to get our oil changed because it was Ladies Tuesday and we got an extra $5 off. Right? Just put it up. If you get any kind of reward from your credit card, anything like coffee shop, whatever. All right. So that's most of us. All right, you can put your hands down. That's most of us. In preparation for this message, I was banking on the response being high. And I was right, okay? And it's because we as human beings, we are wired for reward. Yeah. Actually, literally. Like when I begin to like look into this and study this and research this, did you know that you have a part of your brain that neurologists call the reward system in your brain? It's called the limbic system. And it responds whenever we experience something that is rewarding. All right, so let me give you a little neurology for a couple minutes here. All right, for example, if you do something and then you go get a little treat, you know, you go get a little something sweet, you know what I mean? I don't know about y'all, but treat culture is getting out of control in my life, you know? It's like, I feel like if I go, you know, drop something in the mail, like I need an iced coffee, you know what I mean? I need a treat. So it may be out of control. Y'all pray for me and my voice. So when we are exposed to something that is rewarding stimuli, the brain responds by increasing the release of a neurotransmitter called dopamine. Anybody heard of dopamine in the house? Yeah? All right. Neurotransmitters are chemicals that allow our brain and body to communicate properly. They enable the brain to provide a variety of functions. It is integral to shaping everyday life and functions, these neurotransmitters. And when we release these chemicals, they travel down a pathway in our brains called the mesolimbic dopamine pathway. All right? And when we experience something that is rewarding, it activates the production of these brain chemicals, and they are projected out, and they travel to these different... Thank you, Ryan. Pastor Ryan. They travel to these different parts of our brain, and they play a large part in how we feel and regulate pleasure, okay? So now, let's just go just a couple more minutes. Stay with me. I know you weren't trying to come to class this morning. You were trying to go to church. But just hold on just a little bit, all right? So to go a little bit deeper in understanding how this plays out in our lives, I found this video by a neuroscientist. His name's Andrew Huberman. He was talking about something called the reward prediction error. And he said that it's basically a good lens of understanding this is like thinking about it. I messed that up right there. A very good lens through which to think about this is whether or not we should reward ourselves for performing a given habit. What should we reward, when, and how much? He says that if we expect a reward from a certain behavior, action, or experience, and we receive the reward that we expect, we're more likely to repeat whatever it was that produced that reward. This is why we build habits, right? It's like if I expect a reward from something and I get what I was expecting, it's like, that felt good. I'm gonna do that again, right? We are habit-forming creatures, and this is why. This is built into our brains. Another thing I thought was really interesting is that the only thing that produces more dopamine is when we get a reward that we didn't expect, right? So, and all of a sudden, so much of my life made sense. Like, it's like I understood why those times that when I was a kid where something really cool happened that I didn't expect and I didn't plan seemed so much more exciting and cool than the things that like my parents have been telling me about for months, right? So for all the parents, here's a little life hack. Don't tell your kids that you're going to do something fun. Just go and do it, and they're going to get way more excited about it, right? Because the studies actually show that kids get more excited in the anticipation of doing something fun or getting a treat than they do in actually getting it. So I ain't telling my kids nothing anymore. Where are we going? You'll see when we get there, all right? All of this is really important because this is how God designed our bodies. This is how God designed our brains. There's a reason behind it. Dopamine is really what motivates us to do things. It's the chemical that makes us have a drive, right? Because we are going for some kind of reward. Because in everything we do in life, we are looking for some kind of outcome or some kind of reward. We don't do things for nothing, right? That good feeling, that outcome that we hope for, the fulfillment of our dreams, that's what motivates us, right? All of these graduates who stood up here, they have a dream. They didn't just do this for nothing. They're motivated by something internally. All right, so we want to know what we are going to get out of something before we do it. Why should I do it, right? Why should I work out? Why should I study hard? Why should I eat healthy? Why should I put other people before myself? The why is the reward. And this is how we're wired. So let's put it in the context of the Christian life, okay? In the context of ministry, okay? Because every member is a minister. Every person is a royal priest in the body of Christ. Why should I give to the church? Or to missions, or to those in need? Why should I pray and study God's word? Why should I fast? Why should I trust God? These are all things in Matthew chapter 6 that Jesus says he expects us to do. All of the things that I just listed. All right? And he didn't say if you do them. He said when you do them. All right? So the big question for us this morning is, since Jesus expects it, is it right to do it for a reward? To say that we are doing these things, spiritual practices, for a reward, it kind of on the surface seems wrong. At least it did for me, right? I seem to remember just kind of being taught, like, you don't do this stuff for yourself. But the truth is, it's not wrong because Jesus said that we would be rewarded for it. So the question is not if we are working for a reward, but which reward are we working for? Okay, what reward are we seeking? What is our motivation for following Jesus? What is our motivation for serving in ministry, Chi Alpha, Pastor Ryan, all FCA, all those who are here in full-time ministry, and everyone else, because we're all ministers? Jesus said there's a reward. He said that there are different kinds of rewards and that they're not equal and that one is better than all of the others. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6 again, and we're going to see in this chapter, we're looking into Jesus' most famous sermon. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And thankfully, the Holy Spirit inspired Matthew to write this down, and we have the outline. We have the bullet points of the greatest sermon ever preached by God himself, God in flesh. And as Jesus traveled around, he would preach this message over and over. And we are, like I said, we're privileged to have it. So look with me there. And I'm gonna skip around a little bit. But let's read what Jesus says. And then we're going to see what we can take away from it and how we can apply it to our lives. All right? Matthew chapter 6. I'll read verse 1 again. He said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And what? Your Father who sees in secret will what?
Reward
you."
There it is.
Keep going. "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues." They love to stand and pray at church. And at the street corner and at the outreach, right? "That they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." All right, skip with me. Go all the way to verse 16. "And when you fast," ooh, that one hits different. That hurts that treat culture. Mm. "When you fast," Jesus said, "do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, that they have received their reward, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." So, 4 points that we can take away. I'm going to go through these pretty quickly, so if you're taking notes, get ready. Number one, these are just straight from the Word. There's nothing really elaborate about them, okay? Number one, beware. Jesus said, don't do good things only to be seen by people. Beware. Warning. It's like he knew us or something. It's like he knew that we would do this, right? Jesus said, warning, hey, don't do this. You're going to be tempted to do this. But don't do your righteous acts in front of people only to be seen by people. You know why? Because public acts of obedience and righteousness, they are necessary. We have to do it. Pastor Ryan and Pastor Amanda can't pastor the church in private. You know, they can't like be behind the curtain over there. You know what I mean? Like the Wizard of Oz. It's like they got to be out here. We have to do this, right? But we have to be careful not to do it for the praise of people. Jesus is warning us of this. And Jesus is really responding to what is going on in his day and in his culture with the religious leaders. Because in his day and in his time, there were different sects of religious groups that were notorious for doing their righteous acts in front of people to be praised by them. It was very political, really. The thing is, if we do our righteous acts in front of people to be seen by them and to get their praise, then, number two, we have no reward from our Father in heaven. You have no reward from God. You're not getting anything from God, right? You might get something from the people, but you're not getting anything from God. That's number two. Number three, righteous acts for selfish reasons result in immediate rewards. Righteous acts for selfish reasons result in immediate rewards. And that reward, Jesus said, is the recognition of people, right? You're going to get it. I mean, if you're good at faking holy, if you're good at doing church, if you know how to do the whole church culture thing, and so many of us in the South do, right? Then, I mean, you can get all kind of rewards, like, right away. You can get a lot of attaboys, and you can get a lot of, you know, you act, you know, you flex a false humility, and then you walk away, like, knowing that they're like, man, he is so humble. Man, did you see what he did? You see how he did that? You know, you can get that, right? It's kind of like the difference, what people can give you and what God can give you is like the difference between gratification versus satisfaction. See, satisfaction is associated with a deeper sense of contentment and fulfillment, while gratification is more related to the immediate pleasure or enjoyment or fulfilling or the fulfilling of a desire. So if you have that sinful desire in you to be praised by people, you can get it. You can figure it out. But if you want to be satisfied with the reward of the Father, you got to do it in secret. You got to do it with the right motive of heart. Because seeking and receiving the praise of people will gratify your flesh. It meets an unhealthy want in us, but it does not fulfill or sustain our longing for approval, value, and worth. People cannot give that to you. And every one of us, we're looking for that. We all want to feel valuable. We all want to feel worthy, right? We all want to feel like there's meaning and purpose for our lives. And that's why so many of us do what we do. And we can get temporary fixes, little splashes of gratification here and there, but it's never going to satisfy us, ever. Number four, righteousness done in secret gets us rewards from the Father. Notice that Jesus said, the Father will reward you, as opposed to he said, they have their reward, right? So they get it instantly. If you do stuff for the praise of people, you get your reward right then and there. But he said, the Father will, future tense, reward you. So there might be some kind of a delay. When will God reward us for a pure heart, for righteousness done for the right reason? I don't know. That's up to God. That's his timeline. But we know that he will because we know who he is. We know he is trustworthy. You see, a delayed reward is sometimes that much sweeter. He knows best when we need it. Right? That unexpected moment of blessing to lift our spirit and remind us that he is there and he is God. Anybody ever been there before? You were struggling. You were doing the right thing for the right reason, and it felt like everything was against you, and you were just being pressed down, and you were wondering if God saw you, and all of a sudden the heavens opened, and God rained down a blessing on you, and you knew it was from God, and it lifted your spirit, and it encouraged you to go another day, because God saw in secret. He saw in your heart. You see, so many of us, impatience is why we keep doing right things for the wrong reasons, because we can't wait on the reward of the Father. We're not willing to wait. We haven't learned his heart yet. We haven't learned his character. We haven't taken him at his word and trusted his word. We don't trust that his reward is better than the immediate reward, that gratification that we get when we do it for the wrong reason, because we haven't yet just tried him to see if it's true. We haven't waited long enough. I encourage somebody here today, wait on the Lord. Do the right things for the right reasons. Give the right way. Give in secret. Don't let your right hand know. Don't announce it. Go into your prayer closet. Lock yourself in. When the Lord tells you to fast, and don't tell nobody about it. And I promise you, the reward that the Father will give will be sweeter than anything that anyone else can offer you. And it will not just gratify, but it will satisfy your soul. See, Jesus expected the people in his kingdom to do good works. We see that from our text today. And as I mentioned earlier, it has always stood out to me that Jesus said when, not if. And as I've said earlier again, because I got excited and got ahead of my notes, every member is a minister in the body of Christ. Every person is a royal priest. This is scripture. And while we are all gifted differently, we are all equally called to use those gifts to build up the body of Christ. Do you hear me? Yes. We're all gifted differently, but we're all equally called to use our gift to lift up the body of Christ. I believe that the baseline expectation for every believer is to obey the great commandments and to fulfill the great commission. God has called every single one of us. Just as he says, when you do this, I think theologically I could make the case that you could apply it. Jesus could say, when you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, when you love your neighbor as yourself, when you go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything I've commanded you, when? I believe this is an expectation for every one of us, every believer. It's baseline. No matter who you are. So that means that we're all called, we're all equipped to do ministry, to do these righteous acts. You've been given the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the people of God. You have all that you need. The question I want to ask this morning is, what reward are you working for? Seriously, have you thought about it? Because I'm preaching to the choir. I mean, you're here. I've never seen a church that was like, more impressive when it came to volunteer culture. I remember we were here last year, and they were rolling the setup out of them trailers, and people were like smiling and singing while they're there like 2 hours before church. I'm like, y'all doing something right here if you can get people to show up this early before church, and they're excited, you know? So I'm in a room full of people that are doing lots of good things, lots of kingdom activity. But what is the motivation of your ministry? Have you ever sat in silence with God and searched the depths of your heart until he showed you the motivation of your ministry? I have. And the audit wasn't pretty. God had the receipts. He kept the receipts. Yeah, those are the receipts I try to hide from Heather, and I'm just kidding. She's like, where is she looking at the statement? You drinking a lot of iced coffees. But for real, you know, I'll just be transparent with you. It wasn't that long ago. I mean, I was just sitting in my place in my prayer closet with the Lord one morning and just struggling with feelings of heaviness and, you know, maybe some depression and anxiety, and the Lord just showed me that my motivation was off, Pastor Ryan. And I felt the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, you're building your kingdom in the King's name. Wow. He said, you're building your kingdom and using the King's name. He said, because if you're honest with yourself, Kyle, you think more about how this is going to benefit you than the kingdom of God. You think more about how your state director is going to be impressed with what you're doing when you call her and tell her Courtney, who's my spiritual authority, you know? And I do want her to be proud of me. I do want her to be impressed. But like, but the Lord showed me that my motivation was off. So I'm going to tell you right now, if I ain't going to do this for the Lord, I ain't going to do it at all. I'm not going to do it. Because there's far easier things that you could do for yourself than this. There's a powerful scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 15, where, and I'm going to start at verse 10, but Paul is talking, he's writing this letter to the church in Corinth that I think applies to what we're saying. And we're going to start our descent, okay? So if you're just wondering where I'm at, if you've ever flown, we're going to begin our initial descent, okay? But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul said, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, listen, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. What is he saying right here? First of all, you got to be building on the right foundation, or it don't even matter. Because there is only one foundation, and that is Jesus Christ. And if you're not building on the rock of Jesus Christ, everything else is shifting sand, and it's going to come crashing down. All right? The foundation has been laid. It's Jesus. The motivation of our ministry determines the materials we are building with. The motivation of our ministry determines the materials we are building on the foundation with. And there's a day, Paul said. He said, the day will reveal it. There is a day when every one of us will stand before God. And on that day, the fire, the testing of God, will reveal the motivation of our ministry. It will reveal the secrets of our heart. Everything will be laid bare. You will not be able to hide anything. Some things will make it through the fire. Gold, silver, precious stones. Those things can survive a fire. But wood and hay, it can't survive a fire. It's going to be burned up. So we're all building a life. And since every one of us is a minister, we've established that. We're all building a ministry. But what are we building with? We can go on doing good things for the wrong reason, selfish reasons, and God will go on blessing people through it. Courtney and I were talking about this yesterday. I was giving her a little bit of this word. Yeah, you don't even know why I'm doing this. Only God knows. Because I could be doing this for me, because I feel like this makes me look good and I get attention, right? But God will still bless you through it because he honors his word and he loves his people. But if I'm doing it for me, I don't get a reward. But God honors those who do the right things for the right reasons, right? And until we understand that our reward, the only reward that will remain and last is from the Father, then we'll go on trying to collect our own rewards. We'll keep going building our own trophy cases that are all just going to burn up one day anyway. So, what are the results of working for the right reward? Here, this is just me. This is what I've learned in my life. This isn't word. But I'll tell you what I've learned. The results for working for the right reward, it's peace. Peace. It simplifies everything. It quiets my soul and it turns up the volume on God's voice. I'm no longer listening to my ego or the voices. I'm no longer searching the room, trying to figure out what I need to do to make this person happy or impress this person. I'm listening to one voice. That's it. It simplifies everything. I don't know about you, but I'm always looking to simplify things. It frees us from comparison and the anxiety that comparison breeds. Comparison breeds anxiety and discontentment. When I'm doing it for God and God alone and I don't care who sees me or gives me an applause, then I'm free from that. It frees us from the lie that results and outcomes determine our value and worth. My worth is already settled in the kingdom of God. I don't need none of y'all to approve of this today. Because whether you like me or not, you're going to see me in heaven. I'm like, remember me? I know you didn't like it when I preached at your church, but do you remember me? Because I'm a son in the house. Yes. Through the blood of Jesus. That's freeing, y'all. It frees us from burnout because we don't think that it depends on us and we have to work so hard that if we take one day off, it's all going to fall apart. We can rest. We can rest appropriately. Now, we got to be careful not to let rest kind of bleed into that treat culture where it's like, too much, you know what I mean? But yeah. Another thing that it produced in my life is efficiency. Efficiency. I believe that when we do the right thing for the right reason, in secret, for God alone, we become more efficient disciples. Because we're not wasting time and mental energy worrying about what other people think. We don't get involved in petty, useless arguments or comparing sandcastles because we're too busy building on the rock. I mean, cool, you got a sandcastle? That's great. The tide's coming in later. It's going to be gone. I'm over here building on the rock, on the only foundation. And so, you know, whether you like me or how I do it, it really doesn't matter because I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for Jesus. We build the King's kingdom and not our own. The work we do will remain because we bear the fruit that comes from being connected to the vine because we are the branch. And lastly, the result of working for the right reward brings anointing. It brings anointing. You know, the word anointing in the original language, it means to smear. That's what it literally means. It's a reference back to the days of the Old Testament when prophets, priests, and kings would be anointed with oil. They would find who God had appointed, and they would just, you know, anybody ever been anointed with oil? A little. Now imagine them dunking a whole like horn, ram's horn of oil on your head, and it's just flowing. That's what they used to do. And so the oil was symbolic of the presence of God. So to be anointed is to be covered and to be smeared in the presence of God. And with the presence of God, there is power. There is peace. There is spiritual gifting. When you're working and doing the right thing for the right reason, God will smear his presence all over your life. I'm here to tell you, you can't stop the anointing. The anointing breaks the yokes. Yep. It breaks bondages. The Spirit of God through you will do things through you that you cannot do by yourself. It will amplify and multiply the effectiveness of your ministry. Let me tell you something. If you want to see a difference in your life and you want to see a difference in the lives of the people that you are ministering to, then you got to do the right thing for the right reason. You got to get in your prayer closet and get anointed by God. Yes. Because it is the anointing that will make the difference. Yes. You can run a program. You can run a church. You can run a ministry. You can do all of it. You can be cool. You can gather people in a room. But it does not mean that true spiritual life change is happening. It doesn't equal that. It comes from the anointing of God. So, in closing, what motivates your ministry? I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. I want everybody else just to close your eyes and just sit with this word just for a minute. Just sit with it, okay? I know they're moving to the platform and everything, but that's business as usual. You shouldn't let that distract you, okay? Sit with this word for a minute and just go to that place with God and say, Lord, what does motivate my ministry? What gets me up out of bed every morning? What motivates me to be a husband or a wife, a father or a mother, a student? Because everywhere that God has placed you, that is the place that you are to be a minister. Mom, dads, kids, students, people in the marketplace, that is your ministry. That's your ministry. So what is motivating you to get up and minister? The word minister means to serve the cause that God has given you. If it's not for Him, then you're going to get a reward, but you're not going to be satisfied with it. And you're going to have to keep finding ways to distract yourself from what God is really trying to do in your life. And we're really good at that. There's never been a generation on the face of the planet that's better at distracting themselves, because we have all these little devices and all these ways to distract ourselves now. But what I feel the Holy Spirit is saying right now in this moment is God is looking for people who won't announce their prayer life, but they'll go into the prayer closet and lock themselves in and sit in the secret place with God until He releases the reward on their life. And so what we're going to do right now is we're going to ask the prayer team to come up here and join us, to line up across the front of this auditorium and get ready to pray for those who want to respond to this word today. Now, I would be remiss if I did not give the opportunity for someone here who says, you know what? You talking about all this stuff and I don't even follow Jesus. I've not even surrendered my life to Him. I've not put my faith and my whole trust in Him. I understand that that is always a possibility. So with everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed in an attitude of prayer, I'm going to ask if there's anyone in the house today that would say, you know what? That's me. But I feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit today. I know that I am a sinner who does not deserve to be with God for all of you. I don't deserve to have eternal life and live in heaven in the presence of God and with a perfect God forever. But I want to. And I want to be forgiven of my sin today. And I want to give my life to Jesus. Is there anybody here today? Just lift your hand and say, that's me, preacher. Pray for me. Anybody? Anybody in the house at all? Amen. So moving back onto this word that we just talked about, I think that the Holy Spirit is doing what He does. He is convicting hearts. He is encouraging you. He is speaking to you right now. And so in just a few seconds, I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to get out the way. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to move out and to come receive prayer. All right, so would everybody stand with me this morning? Stand with me. I'm getting ready to respond to this word. I'm so glad that you're here. Thank you so much for being here. Pastor Ron and Pastor Amanda, they have given up so much to move their family to Oxford to pastor this church. They love you. I can promise you they love you, even if they don't know you. So glad that you're here today. You are in a safe place. You are in a place that you are loved. I promise you. You're in a place that you will not be judged. You will not be condemned. You may be convicted, but that's the Holy Spirit, and that's the Word of God. That's His job. Conviction happens because God loves us, not because He's mad at us. Conviction happens because He's saying, hey, just come home. Like He said to the prodigal son, hey, just come on home. I don't care how dirty you are. I don't care how messed up your motivations have been. I don't care how prideful you've been, how fake you've been. It doesn't matter to me. You're my son and my daughter. I love you. Come home. We can fix this. So I'm going to say a final prayer. And if the Spirit is drawing you, come up here and let us pray with you today. Amen. Father, thank you so much that you love us enough that you gave us your word to speak the hard truth to us. God, to check us. God, thank you that you love us enough, God. You have so many good things for us, God. You said that we have been created unto good works. That before we were even born, you created us to do good things, that we might walk in them, that we might do them. Every person in this room was created to do good things for you, Lord. And you want them to do it for the right reason, because you want to reward them. You want to bless them. You want to be with them, so close to them. I pray that you would work today only the way that you can. And I pray that your people would let you work in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Why do you do what you do? The called, the anointed of God. Cana, why do you manage the way you manage? I'll tell you, you deserve pats on your back. Don't get me wrong. You do. You manage so you can invite people to church? Hey, there's your next sermon, Kyle, right there. Holly, why do you do the work that you do? Yeah, for them, that's a great, I love it. Jacoby, why did you work so hard to get through law school? Is it for that cute piece of paper and for me to have someone to call on when I mess it up? Why do we do it, what we do? I love, Kyle, I loved it, man. Like, there's a reward factor. But that's not the driving force of it. Such a good word. Church, I hope you'll sit with that. I hope you'll let that question plague you. What was the Holy Spirit told you again? I'm going to mess it up. But he said, you're building your kingdom in the King's name. Ooh, that cut me down. Why do you do what you do? Church, I know God is creative enough to create each one of us with a specific purpose and a plan for our lives. The Bible says that our plan's already written out in the palm of his hand anyway. And so as we pursue Jesus with everything we've got, as we're chasing Jesus, as we like to say, we know we always end up on the right path with the right reward in the right timing. Church, we can trust the nature and character of our King. Sit with this week, church. Sit with this, okay? We all know how we like to do it. At the end of every service, we like to say something that drives home who we are in response to who he is. So y'all show these other Kaiapa people that aren't from here how we do this, all right? So Jesus said, I am the vine.
We are the branch.
And everywhere you go,
be the branch.
Be the branch. God bless you.